Namachaya Salahaitas Thakur Kida Pimsikonsi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Srivasri Gaur Bhakti Vindiki Jaya Sisi Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jaya Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya Mayapur Abhidvip Dham Ki Jaya Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jaya Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jaya Samaveta Bhakti Vindiki Ki Jaya Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sisi Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Today we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 17, The Lord Travels to Vrindavan, texts 97 through 103. Nirantara Dunhe Chinti Tomara Charana Sarvagna Isvara Tumi Dila Darshana. My dear Lord, we too think of your lotus feet incessantly. Although you are omniscient, the omniscient supreme personality of Godhead, you have granted us your audience. Suni Mahaprabhu Yabhena Srivindavane Dina Katarahetara Brichadui Jane. My Lord, I have heard that you are going to Vrindavan. After you stay here at Varanasi for some days, please deliver us, for we are your two servants. Nisarkahe Prabhu Yavat Kasite Rahiba Mora Nimantrana Vina Anyema Naniba. Tapan Misra then said, my dear Lord, as long as you stay at Varanasi, please do not accept any invitation other than mine. E mata maha prabhu dhui britya ravase echa nahi tabu taha rahila dina dase. Even though he had not made such a plan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained for 10 days at Varanasi, being obliged by the requests of his two servants. Maharashtriya vipra aise prabhu dekhe bhare Prabhura Rupa Prema Dekhi Haya Chamatkare. At Varanasi, there was a Maharashtrian Brahmin who used to come daily to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Brahmin was simply astonished to see the Lord's personal beauty and ecstatic love for Krishna. Viprasabhe Miman Praya Prabhu Nahi Mane Prabhu Kahe Agne More Anate Mirantare. When the Brahmins of Varanasi would invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to lunch, the Lord would not accept their invitations. He would reply, I have already been invited somewhere else. E mata prati dina karena vanchana sanyasira sanghi bhaya namanena nimantrana. Every day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused their invitation, because he feared associating with Mayavadi sannyasis. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A Vaishnava sannyasi never accepts an invitation from a party who considers Mayavadi sannyasis and Vaishnava sannyasis to be one and the same. In other words, Vaishnava sannyasis do not at all like to associate with Mayavadi sannyasis, to say nothing of eating together. This principle must be followed by all the sannyasis of the Krishna consciousness movement. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu given by his personal behavior. Om agyanati mirandasya ganandana sarakaya chakshurun militam gena tasmai sagi gurave namaha. So for several weeks, we've been reading on Saturdays about Lord Chaitanya's travels from Puri to Varanasi. Can we put up that first map? This little map will show the route that the Lord took or walked. You can see Puri in the lower right. And then he walked north through the Jharkhanda forest, which is also North Orissa, Southwest Bengal. And then kind of where he took a left, and then you see that arrow in the middle and Vrindavan away on the upper left. That place in the middle is Varanasi. It's hard to get it big. But what happens is that on that route, as one walks north through the Jharkhanda forest, finally comes to the Ganges River, which is coming down out of the Himalayas and going from west to east into the Bay of Bengal. You can show the next one for a second. It's, what does it say there? It says 983 miles. Almost 1,000 miles. Walking. On Google, you can actually click walking as one of the methods. 933 miles. 500 years ago, of course, there were no highways for driving. So the rivers actually acted as arteries. We call them arteries today, like I-75 is an artery that goes down the middle of Florida, 95 goes to the east, there's several that go east to west across America, there's one in the south, one in the middle, one in the north. But in those days, travelers, there were paths along riverbanks that connected different places. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, and the other Brahmin with them, traveled north through the Jharkhanda forest. We read about that a few months ago. Then they hit the Ganges and they took a left and they're walking along the Ganges and they came to Varanasi. This kind of shows that up at the top of that next one, this is interesting. The one you're showing. The Indian government, you can't read it, but the Indian government is mapping of the Ganges River. More than 600 million people used the water from the Ganges Basin. Does anyone know the population of the United States of America? 350 million. In that area, from where the Ganges comes out of the Himalayas down to the Bay of Bengal, 600 million people. More than almost twice as many people as live in the entire United States take advantage of the water coming from the Ganges for their sustenance, agriculture use and everything. According to the Vedic scriptures, that Ganges water emanates or comes from the spiritual world through the various heavenly planets carried by airplanes and finally descends to Bharatvarsha, Earth. And therefore, there are many holy places along the banks of that Ganges simply by coming in contact with that water. People become God conscious. And it's kind of interesting because if you consider the avatars of Vishnu or Lord Shiva or Durga as celestial beings and being conscious of them as being God conscious, then just consider on this whole planet what people, what group of people are God conscious if we look at it from that point of view, all those people. They're all along that route. Before I was a devotee, came across teachings of Carlos Castaneda, who experimented with peyote, mescaline, and different kinds of psychotropic plants with the Toltec Indians in northern Mexico. And one of the concepts in that culture was that there are places of power. So I looked up the other day before giving this class about sacred places on earth. Stonehenge, the pyramids of Egypt, Jerusalem, Mecca. So many different, there were hundreds. They had a map. It was like, okay, I can't remember that. There were hundreds and hundreds of places where people, where certain powers are manifested and atmospheres are produced by the environment that inspire a particular type of consciousness. So if I was to say Vrindavan, what kind of consciousness is generated and produced, and what do people feel inspired to do when they go to Vrindavan? Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Bhakti, Radha Krishna Bhakti. Roll in the dust. Huh? Roll in the dust. Take bath in the Jamuna. But Radha Krishna Bhakti. But if I say Mayapur and Navadvip, what is the atmosphere that's generated? Govanitai. Lord Chaitanya. Jagannath Puri. Jai Jagannath. Samudra. So if I say Varanasi, interesting. According to the Vedas, the Skanda Purana actually has a section called the Kashi Mahatmya, the Kashi Kanda, not Kashi Mahatmya. The Kashi Mahatmya is a compilation of different verses from different scriptures, just like Mathura Mahatmya or Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. Are gatherings, collections of verses from Vedic scriptures glorifying those holy places. According to Kashi Kanda of the Skanda Purana, when Lord Shiva got married to Sati, he was homeless. And his father-in-law, who was, didn't think kindly of him, that you've married my daughter and you don't even have a home, you live under a tree. So, in order to satisfy Sati and the family, he created or manifested Kashi, Benares, Varanasi. And it was his abode. And it's actually stated there that at the times of partial dissolutions, when the entire world becomes dissolved at the night of Brahma, Kashi, along with other holy places, aren't destroyed. So it's not a mundane Mayavadi so home place. It's actually a celestial abode manifest on earth. And because in Shastra it says that if one dies in Kashi and is cremated at the Manikarnika Ghat on the bank of the Ganges, then he will attain liberation. Millions of people go to Kashi to die. So it's a sacred place. There's an energy there. But underlying all of that is another kind of shakti that has been powerful for hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years. And that is one of learning. It's a place where people learn and teach. Mark Twain went there, and he was rather a witty author. Because it's a famous place, Benares. Here's what Mark Twain said. Benares is older than history, older than tradition, older than legend. And it looks twice as old as all of them put together. This was probably in the late 1800s, early 1900s. I don't know Mark Twain's time period. But because it's a shakti of learning, I wanted to kind of focus a part of our attention on that aspect of what Lord Chaitanya will do there. So we'll go kind of like ahead and backwards. You know how there's a literary technique now put into screenplays, so you can see it in movies, where an event happens, and then all of a sudden the screen says 15 years ago. And then it goes back into another time period. Or it says 5 years from now, and it will go into the future. So if we look at this particular time period where we are right now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he wants to go to Vrindavan, so he's traveling from Puri to Vrindavan. Does anyone know the year? Ron, you must know this. What year did Lord Chaitanya go to Vrindavan?
What year? I mean, how old was he?
Yes, how old was he?
24, he took sannyas and then he went to Jagannath Puri. So it's 2 years after.
Then 2 years after that, he traveled for 2 years. Then he came back. Then he tried again. He went to North India. Then he came back, North Bengal, Rup Sanatan. Then he came back. It's around 1500. He's 30 years old. He was appeared in 1486.
No, it'd be
1510. What did I say?
Around
1515 is when he went to Vrindavan. He's 30 years old, 31 years old. So let's go back to when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was 14 years old. Because that sets the scene for part of what's going to happen here in Varanasi. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was 14 years old, his brother, Vishwarup, had already left home and taken sannyas, which broke Jagannath Mishra's heart, and he left this world. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was 14 years old, it was just he and Mother Sachi. And Mother Sachi wanted him to get married. So he married Lakshmi Priya. But because he was the foremost male entity in the house, he had to earn a living. So what he did was he went to East Bengal. Next map. East Bengal. You can see that Mayapur is on the left, Calcutta is in the lower left, but the arrow is where Mayapur is. Then that Ganges comes down on the left, and the big huge one where it says Bangladesh, that's another tributary, another main tributary of the Ganges. When the British split Pakistan and East Bengal into Pakistan and Bangladesh, that river became the demarcation point, the border. So Sylhet is over in the upper right, and Lord Chaitanya went there when he was 14 years old, and he was such a learned scholar, even at that young age, that he was famous as Nimai of Nadia. And at that time, 500 years ago, Nadia was similar to what Benares is. It was it was famous as a learning center. But because there were so many different pundits and schools, Lord Chaitanya left there. He was a young boy, young man, and he went to Sylhet and started teaching there. And within a short time, due to his amazing ability to work with Vyakarana, with different Sanskrit grammar, he got a following really quickly, and a lot of people. He became famous. He was a, Paka Brahmin. What was his surname?
Mishra.
Very good. Which is a Brahmin name. His father was Jagannath Mishra. He was Vishvambar Mishra, Nimai of Nadia. And while he was there teaching, when he was just about to leave, Pundarik talked about this during his last couple of classes, one of the Brahmins there, another Mishra, Tapan Mishra, who had been studying Shastra, he had a burning desire to understand what it was that was the goal of the Vedas. Just like one example that makes it clear how important it is to hear Vedic knowledge from a true authority is the example of the Bhagavad Gita in the world prior to Srila Prabhupada's translation. How many people read Bhagavad Gita? Hundreds and thousands of people, but who really understood it? There's even devotees who got Bhagavad Gita's prior to Srila Prabhupada's. They read it and it was like a far out book, but nobody really understood the depths of it. But when they heard from Srila Prabhupada, it was almost like opening the flower and revealing the beauty and meaning of all the different details that are in Bhagavad Gita. So Tapan Mishra was a Brahmin. He was studying the Vedas, and Nimai of Nadia was there teaching, and he could see this person is so vastly learned that I should inquire from him, what is the meaning of the Vedas? And they had some talks, again, Pundarik talked about this a couple weeks ago, about the goal of the Vedas and the path to attain that goal. So Lord Chaitanya, it's not described in any Shastra, but he explained to him the basics and then told him, you should go to Varanasi and study this Sanskrit further. So Tapan Misra, in 1500, shortly thereafter, moved to Varanasi. So now we're 15 years later. In 1505, Tapan Misra had his first son, whose name was Raghunath Misra. So this boy now, if he was born in 1505, and Lord Chaitanya is traveling to Puri in 1515, the boy is 10 years old. And that boy used to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and later would become Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Bhatta is a title, Bhattacharya. It's given to a person who understands Shastra. So although his surname was Misra, he was Raghunath Misra, but we know him as Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So he was a young boy serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time. But what also will happen is that Lord Chaitanya will travel to Vrindavan and spend a few months. A couple years earlier, for those who follow the narrative and the, what do they call it, name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he tried to go to Vrindavan and was going to go through Bengal a couple years earlier. When he traveled north, he met Rupa and Sanatan, who were government ministers in the government of Hushain Shah of Bengal. And they in that two-year term interim, gave up their jobs. Rupa Goswami put the money in the boat, left home, and started traveling with his brother to Vrindavan. Meanwhile, Sanatan Goswami gave up his job, was imprisoned by the Nawab, then he escaped. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming back from Vrindavan, again through Varanasi, a few months after where we are now, Sanatan Goswami, who had escaped from jail, came to Varanasi and met him. So that Shakti of teaching and learning, what happened in Varanasi between Sanatan Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? How long did they spend together?
2 months.
2 months. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, which chapters comprise the most instructions? More chapters, more instructions than any other rest of the book. Teachings to Sanatana Goswami. Madhya Lila chapters 20 through 25. Five different chapters. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatana Goswami in the science of the absolute truth, the opulence and sweetness of Lord Sri Krishna, the process of devotional service, life's ultimate goal, love of Godhead, the 61 explanations of the Atmarama verse, and then finally how all the residents of Varanasi became Vaishnavas. So when I was meditating on this exchange with Tapan Misra, 15 years ago he had a question. And although it's not mentioned, it's also not said that Lord Chaitanya and Sanatan Goswami were like in a private meeting. As it is mentioned very clearly that when he was with Ramananda Roy, it was intimate. It was just the two of them. But I would venture to say, because he was a Brahmin, because he was there, probably Raghunath Bhatta and his father Tapan Misra were there with Sanatan Goswami when he asked the exact same question of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who am I? Why am I suffering these threefold miseries in material life? What is the goal of my life? How can I attain it? The exact same question that Tapan Misra had asked 15 years before. So chances are, at least they were all in the same home, staying at Chandrasekhar's house and taking meals in Tapan Misra's house. They had to have discussed these topics in the association of those devotees. So this is the Lord in his rasa with Tapan Misra, fulfilling that desire. I found a real nice quote by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about how that happens in the Lord's way of doing things. Subjects of philosophy and theology are like peaks of large, towering, and inaccessible mountains standing in the midst of our planet, inviting attention and investigation. Thinkers and men of deep speculation take their observations through the instruments of reason and consciousness, but they take different points when they carry on their work. These points are chalked out by the circumstances of their social and philosophical life, different as they are in different parts of the world. Plato looked at the peak of the spiritual question from the West, and Vyas made the observation from the East. So Confucius did it from further east, and Schlegel, Spinoza, Kant, and Goethe from further west. These observations were made from different times and by different means. But the conclusion is all the same, inasmuch as the object of observation was one and the same. They all hunted after the great spirit, the unconditioned soul of the universe. They could not but get an insight into it. Their words and expressions are different, but their import is the same. They tried to find out the absolute religion, and their labors were crowned with success. For God gives all that he has to his children if they want to have it. It requires a candid, generous, pious, and holy heart to feel the beauties of their conclusions. Party spirit, that great enemy of truth, will always baffle the attempt of the inquirer who tries to gather truth from the religious works of his nation and will make him believe that the absolute truth is nowhere except in his old religious book. But truth is eternal and is never injured but for a while by ignorance. So I thought that was beautiful, saying that God gives all that he has to his children if they want to have it, and in this particular circumstance, he fulfilled the desire of Tapan Misra fully by having him hear these instructions. So that's Tapan Misra. And he would always accept meals during this time. We're reading about how he didn't accept the association of the Mayavadi sannyasis. Well, imagine the nectar that he was getting at Tapan Misra's house with all these different personalities of his, as his devotees. Now, Chandrasekhar. Chandrasekhar is an interesting person. His wife was almost like a sister to Mother Sachi. Most of us have been to Mayapur, to the place where Lord Chaitanya appeared, which is the yog pit. And if you remember, a few hundred yards towards the Chandkazis, Belpakuri, a few hundred yards down that road is the Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math, where Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's samadhi is and Gaura Kishore Das Babaji's samadhi is. So that is where Chandrasekhar lived. And Lord Chaitanya, Jagannath Mishra, and Sachi lived at Yogpit. So it was a few hundred yards away. The homes were close. It was a small village. So they were extremely close. As he was growing up, Chandrasekhar was almost like an uncle to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Chandrasekhar went with him to Katwa. And he was the one who arranged the sannyasi cloth, the danda, and the different paraphernalia of a sannyasi. Lord Chaitanya, that's not a lightweight activity, not like going to a movie or a restaurant for a meal or something. He was taking sannyas. He was leaving his home. It was a life-changing moment. And he took Chandrasekhar, was one of those devotees, with him. Interestingly enough, a couple months later, when Sanatan Goswami comes to Varanasi, he was bearded and looking like a Muslim mendicant because he had come from Bengal, where he was a government minister in the Muslim government. And Lord Chaitanya had Chandrasekhar take him down to the bank of the Ganges, get him shaved, give him different kinds of cloth, and Tapan Misra also gave him cloth. But that same service of taking a person from their previous life and helping them, assisting them, serving them as they go to mendicant life was, again, Chandrasekhar's service. But there's a really sweet pastime that I'd like to read that took place in Chandrasekhar's home. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from East Bengal the first time, after Lakshmi Devi had left and he had married Vishnupriya, he's probably, 17, 18 years old. Now, they didn't have cable TV. They didn't have TV at all. They didn't have internet. They didn't have any forms of entertainment on screens. So the people, the culture, they would create their own dramas and their own forms of entertainment with poetry and music and dance. So at the home of Chandrasekhar, this is where different dramas would take place. And this is a famous drama wherein Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Godhead Pandit, and his associates performed a play for the pleasure of all the Vaishnavas. So just imagine the intimacy going on in the home of Chandrasekhar as we read this play. One day, Lord Vishwambar expressed his desire to enact a drama on the pastimes of Vrindavan at the house of Sri Chandrasekhar. He summoned Bhutimanta Khan, his dear associate, who was also quite wealthy, and revealed to him this idea. He ordered Bhutimanta to fetch all the necessary costumes, jewelry, etc., and set up a stage for that purpose. Bhutimanta Khan was the incarnation of the pious king Suvarna Sen, who in Satya Yuga used to reside at the Suvarna Vihar in Godrumdvi. Sri Chaitanya then listed the characters of the play. Godhar Pandit would play the role of Rukmini Devi. Brahmananda would be her old lady companion, Suprabhata. Nityananda Prabhu would play the role of Radharani's old grandmother, Purnamasi, while Haridas Thakur would be the guard responsible for keeping everyone awake. Srivas Pandit would play the role of Narada Muni, while the Lord himself would take the role of Lakshmi Devi. All the necessary arrangements were made. The devotees assembled at Chandrasekhar Bhavan to witness the enchanting drama. Satyamata, along with Vishnupriya Devi, had also arrived to relish the same. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur greatly glorifies Sri Chandrasekhar, whose fortune knew no bounds. It was at his home that the Supreme Lord enacted this magnificent pastime, along with all his associates. Sri Chandrasekhar Bhagya Tomara E Simha Yare Gare Prabhu Prakashila E Mahima from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Mukundadat heralded the proceedings with a melodious kirtan. Rama Krishna Bolo Hari Gopala Govinda. Haridas Thakur next entered and announced that the Lord of the Universe would be gracing the stage and dancing as Lakshmi Devi. Haridas Thakur identified himself as the doorkeeper of Vaikuntha, who was eternally engaged in reviving the dormant Krishna consciousness of others. He loudly advised one and all to meditate upon Lord Krishna, serve Krishna, chant the holy name of Krishna. And saying this, Haridas Thakur, along with Murari Gupta, paraded around the stage. Next entered Srivas Pandit, dressed as Narada Muni, along with Sri Ram Pandit, his brother, who acted as his dear disciple. Everyone was amazed to see the beautiful form and spontaneity of Srivas Pandit. No one really had any doubt that he was actually the incarnation of Narada Muni. Holding kusha grass in his fingers with the marks of chandan decorating his entire body, he played upon his veena. Ramai Pandit made arrangements for him to sit. When Advaitacharya entered the stage and asked who he was, Srivas replied that he was Narada Muni, the celestial stage. He further revealed that when he had visited Vaikuntha, He saw that it was completely deserted and came to know over there that the Lord, along with all his associates, had descended to the town of Nadia and today would be enacting the beautiful dance of Lakshmi Devi. Hence, not being able to resist himself anymore, he had come over to relish the Lord's dance. The audience became highly astonished hearing these nectarian words and asked Malini Devi, Srivas's wife, whether it was really Srivas Pandit who was playing that role. Srimati Malini confirmed that it was indeed her pious husband. Srimati Sachi Devi fainted, being enthralled by the ecstatic performance of Srivas Pandit. The ladies chanted, Krishna, Krishna, in his ears to slowly bring him to his senses. Lord Vishwambar, meanwhile, became immersed in the mood of Rukmini Devi, forgetting himself completely. He began writing a letter to Sri Krishna. The tears that rolled down his eyes were his ink. The earth was his writing pad, and the beautiful lotus fingers served as the pen. The Lord began to write the seventh verse of Rukmini Devi's letter to Krishna, as revealed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya then recited Rukmini Devi's words as follows. He revealed how she had been won over by Krishna's charming face and his valor. She requested Krishna to forgive her shamelessness for speaking so boldly and expressed her earnest desire to serve him as his wife eternally. She expressed how without Krishna, the treasures of erudition, aristocracy, character, wealth, beauty, etc., all seemed very empty and futile to her. She revealed that if she had earned any pious credits for worshipping the demigods, then she would only request the boon to obtain Krishna as her dear husband. She requested Krishna again in her letter to protect her from Rukma's treacherous plan to marry her to Shishupal, Krishna's sworn enemy. She also revealed how on that day before, her scheduled marriage with Shishupal, she would visit the Durga Devi temple outside the city. And this was the best opportunity, opportune moment for Krishna to rescue her from the dire situation. If this does not happen, however, she expressed her resolution to give up her body instead. Saying this, Lord Chaitanya ordered the Brahmin to quickly go and convey Rukmini's message to Krishna. Hearing these words and relishing Gauranga's mood, all the Vaishnavas present began crying and rolling around in the ground in ecstasy. Loud chants of Hari Bol, Hari Bol reverberated within the house of Chandrasekhar. Thus concluded the first scene of the drama. The second scene opened with Gadadhar Pandit entering the stage, accompanied by her old lady companion, Suprabhata, that was being played by Brahmananda Prabhu. Haridas Thakur, being the guard, asked them who they were, who their husbands were, and where were they headed. Brahmananda replied that they were going towards Mathura. Gangadas Pandit then asked where they would stay. Brahmananda asked whether Gangadas would provide them a place to stay, but Gangadas replied in the negative and suggested that they move from there as quickly as possible. Advaitacharya intervened and said that there was no need for such interrogations, as others' wives should be respected as one's own mother. Advaita Prabhu continued that his Lord was very fond of singing and dancing, and so if they danced, they should receive ample reward. Thereafter, Gadadhar Pandit began to dance ecstatically as Lakshmi Devi. All the devotees complimented his dance with appropriate music. Tears rolled down from the pundit's eyes and sanctified the earth. The audience was inundated with an intense love of Godhead. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur says at this point that it reminds Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur at this point reminds us that Lord Chaitanya had revealed on several previous occasions that Gadadhar Pandit was his wife from Vaikuntha. Thereafter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the stage dressed as Radharani, the original pleasure potency of the Lord. He was accompanied by Nityananda Prabhu, who played the part of Purnamasi, Radhika's grandmother. The audience applauded them greatly. They were so nicely dressed that no one could really guess their original identities. In fact, Satyamata herself couldn't recognize Vishvambhara. When Lord Chaitanya danced, the devotees were swept away by waves of transcendental ecstasy, but no one could guess whose role he was enacting. All the ecstatic symptoms were manifested in the body of the Lord while he was thus mesmerized with the audience. When Mahaprabhu inquired from the Brahmin whether Krishna had arrived, all understood that he was playing the part of Rukmini Devi. When the Lord shed tears of ecstasy, the devotees thought him to be Ganga Devi personified. When he laughed ferociously, all thought him to be Mahamaya Durga Devi, Mahachandi. When Mahaprabhu danced, swinging his body slowly from one side to the other, he seemed to be immersed in the mood of Revati Devi. On another occasion, the Lord asked Purnamasi to accompany him to Vrindavan, suggesting that he was in the mood of a Braj Gopi. In this way, the Lord enacted the mood of each of his energies, one by one. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur here reveals that the Lord wanted to teach us that one should not disrespect the other devotees of the Lord, like the demigods and demigoddesses. Lord Krishna actually becomes very pleased when worshipped along with his energies and associates. Being completely overwhelmed, Lord Nityananda suddenly lost his external consciousness and fell down. The other Vaishnavas started crying, rolling over and over on the ground in ecstasy. The pastimes of Vaikuntha were being manifested in the house of Chandrasekhar. The Lord then sat down upon a throne of Vishnu and ordered everyone to offer prayers. Different people offered different prayers unto the Lord as per their realizations. Some visualized him as Lakshmi Devi, while some saw him as Durga. Actually, the energy of the Lord is one and the same. The devotees visualized the internal energy of the Lord as Srimati Radharani, or Lakshmi Devi, while the materialists perceived this as his external energy, and visualize her as Mahamaya Durga. In this way, this extraordinary night slowly came to an end. When the rays of the sun entered the arena, the hearts of the devotees were pierced with arrows of grief. They couldn't bear the thought of these wonderful pastimes coming to a halt. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur expresses that even the death of one's millions of sons couldn't match the grief aroused within the hearts of the devotees, and that was caused by the arrival of daylight. So, these people were together, associating with one another every day, and somebody came with an invitation from the Mayavadi sannyasis, how would you like to come to lunch? No, thank you. I've already been invited somewhere else. And that's today's little pastime. Any questions or comments? Probably. Actually, he didn't lie. He was invited somewhere else for lunch.
No, but it doesn't appear exactly like this. He said he was trying to escape in a sense. Oh, I was already invited. I got invitation. He was like kind of like pretending not to go to the Mayavadis.
Yeah.
But he's the absolute truth. It's all about truth.
Yeah.
But he's lying here.
No. He's not lying. He's saying, I got invitation to somewhere else. And he got invitation to Tavarnista.
But his intention is not to take their invitation.
Yeah.
So he's trying to escape.
Yeah, okay. He's using some...
He mentioned previously that he had an invitation.
And we know in big picture that ultimately he will accept their invitation and then enlighten all 60,000 of Prakasananda Saraswati.
Line also has to come from Krishna. I remember a first time of Prabhupada in Bombay. Where? But Prabhupada, here it says, Prabhupada is writing in the purport you just read that Krishna conscious sannyasi should not get that. But Prabhupada himself broke it. Because he went to that rich man's house who worshipped actually Mayavadis. And he was in the audience. And Prabhupada was such a genius preacher. He was making a kind of like a joke. He said,
Even though your Maharaj is here, but you don't know that he worships Krishna in his house and he tells you that we are all one, we don't worship. Don't believe what he's saying. See what he's doing. Actually, he worships. It was like, kind of like, how Prabhupada did this? As a Mayavadi's disciples' house, but Prabhupada such a way carved it that he established Vaishnavism.
Yes.
But he gave a warning in the purpose.
Yes, the warning is there.
Yeah.
And he says by his behavior he taught this action. Jaya Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Gita, Srila Prabhupada Gita.